And now, back to Small Business Heroes on News Talk Radio 580 CFRA.
Small Business Heroes, a how-to show for entrepreneurs and small business owners. You're joining James Maduke in the studio here, and we'll join our first guest shortly. What I want to do is just remind you that if you're missing some information or you don't get a name or a website, you can always visit smallbusinessheroes.com, and we have a guest links there, and that guest link includes all of the websites of the guests that are on. So I'm going to ask the guest to mention their website, but if you don't scribble it down fast enough, don't worry. You can always go to Small Business Heroes and check out the list. So we're joined in the studio today by Leslie King. Leslie King's the executive director of the Better Business Bureau. Now, I'm going to get this right because it's changed, of Eastern Ontario and the Outaouais. Welcome to the studio, Leslie.
Thank you very much.
One of the things that just before we obviously you came on the show, what I wanted to do is make sure that I was up to date about the Better Business Bureau. And I had the impression when I first started that the Better Business Bureau was more about mediating between companies. And I understand that that's not the case anymore. So maybe you could just tell us a little bit about what the Better Business Bureau does now.
What we do is keep consumer information that's given to us by the consumer to tell about customer service. And that's about 90% of what we do. The other part is actually mediating problems between the customer and the company.
Okay, so that's a very small part now.
Yes.
Okay, and I asked Leslie to come on the show today because one of the things that I was really shocked at was the amount of scams that are going on. And what I wanted to do is maybe, Leslie, if you could introduce the listeners and us to some of the problems that you're seeing as part of the Better Business Bureau with scams and contractual issues with small business.
Well, the first day that a young fellow that I know was in business, he got a call that he won a fabulous cruise and that he only needed to give them his visa number to pay a small fee to get this cruise. So it's right away, as soon as you go in business, there's something trying to get the money away from your pockets.
Okay.
The other things that come are things that would maybe come in the mail, which are phony invoices for something that you didn't order, you don't know about, and you don't know what it is. If you don't have a way of tracking what you've actually ordered, you would, you know, with purchase orders or something of that ilk, you may fall prey to, you know, if it's only $40, you think, oh, well, okay, I'll pay it, you know. And so it may not be a valid invoice. We've had such things as invoices from Hydro Ontario, which does not exist, which went out to all businesses.
Okay. So this doesn't matter what size of business either.
No. We've had in the past also something called Canadian Repertories that billed just about, that we know of, about 8,000 businesses, and they used a government logo on the top of the invoice. And a lot of people thought, uh-oh, this is something I've forgotten about that I have to pay to the government. It was, the mailbox was in a purchased mailbox area in a pharmacy, but in a government building.
In a government
building. So it looked valid. Yeah. And it looked like it had a GST number on it. And so forth. So it looked quite valid, and it turned out to be totally phony.
Totally false. Now, the other one you mentioned to me were these directories, and I've seen some emails that float past my my inbox that say, you know, buy a directory. So maybe you could talk about that for a second.
Because they come from other countries, and mostly Switzerland, you may get an invoice for U.S. dollars, usually close to 1,000. For some sort of fax directory, email directory, it could be any kind of directory. And this is what, you know, again, is a phony invoice because it's nothing that you've ordered.
Okay, so a directory, just for people that aren't sure of that, a directory is if you're in business, you're starting out your business and you want people to find out about you. So this invoice or this fake invoice is saying we'll include you in the directory if you pay the money.
That's correct. And whether they actually ever print them or not is another story.
Another issue. So yes. what can small business owners and entrepreneurs, what are some tips that you can give them that they should be aware of?
Well, you have to watch out for yourself at all times, of course. That's the first thing. So be aware when you get an invoice to scrutinize it and make sure it is valid for you.
Are there some flags or some sort of red flags that you see on invoices that you know that are abnormal or not in normal invoices that you'd be able to say, hey, this one I should question a little more than another one?
No, actually, they're getting really sophisticated, and they're very, very professionally done.
Professionally.
So they look quite good.
Okay.
So there's no real tip on them. It's just that if you right away you can't recall what it would be, then that's maybe your tip off. Another thing is they have companies that we call them phony toner companies, but they do all sorts of products to businesses. They call and they say, oh, what's your name? And you say your name, and they talk a little bit to you about something, and then they hang up, and then they phone back later, and they talk to somebody else in the business, and they say, well, Leslie ordered such and such.
Okay,
but I had never ordered that thing, and lo and behold, you get a big package of toner, which is about four times your regular price, or cash register tapes, or some kind of item for your office.
Some kind of office thing.
Mm-hmm.
So that was an email scam was one you touched before. This is a telemarketing one that you have to be careful of.
That's right. The other trick is they'll ask you what type of copier you have.
And they may not be the copier salesperson.
They will say they're from Xerox, they're from Toshiba, whatever the well-known company that you deal with is, and blatantly lie that they are part of it, and you will get products for the, well, knockoff products, not real good products.
Not real products.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Now I'd also been told that sometimes even if they end up shipping the products to you, a lot of times they're to get rid of them is a hassle. Maybe.
Well, all you have to do is write back and say that you will dispose of them within 30 days unless they remove them at their expense. You don't have to go to any expense if you got something you didn't order. It's a gift, actually.
It's a gift? Well, that's
yes.
Very kind of them. Hopefully they've sent the right toner. But if you use it, obviously you've got to pay for it.
Well, they'll harass you. They're very good at that, too.
They're very good at that, too. Okay, so we've got email scams. We've got some phone scams. We've got the invoice, the dummy invoice being sent. And is there any, and big companies, small companies, what are some of the other things that they can do if they found out that they've actually paid an invoice by mistake or they've done something wrong? Is there any recourse for them?
It's pretty hard to. If you've used the product, you're pretty well sunk because there's no law about how much you charge for something. And whether if the toner is four times the regular price, you probably have to pay it. But the thing is to make sure you don't touch the stuff after
just
you get it.
Just make sure you don't touch
yeah.
it.
The other thing we get are these what we call a Nigerian letters.
Yes.
Have you heard of those?
I have, but I'm not sure how they work.
Well, they have some big story about why somebody in Nigeria has millions of dollars that they can't get out of the country. And they need your assistance. So what they ask you for is your bank account numbers and so forth. And people don't realize that if you give all that information, they can make up a demand draft on your bank account and raid it.
Okay, so I want to make sure. So if I give someone my account, they can go to a financial institution anywhere and make a demand against that.
Well, they can do another thing. Actually, do you remember when you're short of checks and you go in the bank and you say, well, can you just give me five checks because I need to pay
and
something
they
today?
They print them out
on this little
yes.
weird machine,
yes.
right? Well, those people may have one of those. And if they get a hold of your check or you tell them what the encoding is on your check, they can do that too. So they could write out checks as well as demand drafts.
Okay,
and that's
valid in any financial institution after that.
Well, they don't really look at them anymore. It's done in an automated way.
Automated.
Until there's a problem, they don't really look to see the signature or what it's for. So they do prey on business because business people usually have more money in their bank account.
And they're usually busier, I would think, too.
That's right.
So one of the issue there is if someone starts asking about any kind of account numbers,
it's like you've
got to absolutely be quiet at that point or find out who it is.
That's right. And the next biggest problem that we're going to have is identity theft.
Okay. Now, what's identity theft?
That's when somebody finds out everything about you, including your bank account number, your social insurance number, your address and so forth, date of birth, whatever, and actually creates another identity for somebody that you wouldn't want to have your identity. Basically.
Yeah. Okay. So this is, I hope I've cheered up all the small business owners. Oh no, we've talked about all these awful things that can happen. So what I want to do just to wrap up, there's got to be three things that people can do to pay attention and not be caught by any of these. So what would the three things that you would say to people just to make sure that they never, ever get scammed by any of these, whether it be email or faulty invoice or wrong shipped goods?
Well, it's kind of a basic thing, but don't believe anything you read. Don't believe anything that comes in the mail. Don't believe anything you hear over the telephone. Check it all out.
Okay, so check it out. You have to believe it after it's checked out.
That's right.
Okay, number two.
Well, be clear about, this is to do with contract issues. We see people's jobs falling apart for them because they haven't had a clear contract written out where it says exactly what work is going to be done. It protects the company, too, to have it very clear.
Okay, so if you're a small business owner and you're into a contractual agreement with someone, make sure that whatever is supposed to be done on your side is down, I's dotted, T's crossed, and on the other side as well.
That's right, so that both of you have the same expectation of what the job is going to be, not different ones,
okay.
Because consumers are really good at asking for extras and assuming that it's part of the job.
Yeah. And number three?
Right. Well, if you have policies in your company, it may be a good idea to have them maybe on the back of your invoice, just so it's very clear. For instance, a lot of people think they can just change their mind after they sign a contract. They don't feel that they have an obligation to fulfill it as a consumer.
Okay.
And if you do allow a time period where there's a cooling off period, that's up to you for most contracts. And put it on the back of the invoice.
Put it on the back of the invoice. Okay, perfect. That's great advice. And so we want to make sure that all the listeners who are writing notes there don't get scammed. Beware of your email. Beware of those phone calls. Beware of the false shipments. Thank you very much. I appreciate you coming in to join us today. That was great. Thank you.
You're welcome.
We're going to be, after the break, we're going to be back and we're going to be joined by Lee Underwood, a sales consultant at Cummings Mitchell. And we're going to be talking about exhibiting and trade shows. So stay tuned. After the break, we'll be back with Lee Underwood. And what I want you to do is please make sure, come back after the break. We've got a contest. We've got a contest, a great one for physical fitness. Remember that it's mind and body, business and personal. You got to keep working on both of them to be a small business hero. This is James Maduk. You're listening to Small Business Heroes, part of Business at Night, on News Talk Radio 580 CFRA. We'll be right back.